Well, hello, New Hope Windward. And to all of you guys tuning in from all over the world, I know we got people watching here on our islands. We've got people watching in the prison. We've got people watching even over in Europe. We are so glad you're here with us today. Welcome to church. My name is TJ. I have the privilege of being part of the teaching team from time to time here at New Hope Windward. And I love it, especially because of the series that we're in currently. We're currently doing a series called When God Doesn't Make Sense. And the reason why I love this is, you know, I think that sometimes churches will do series that are always just kind of like the positive space, but sometimes there's hard questions, questions that many of us have. Maybe today you're watching and you're not a Christian and you're tuning in and you're kind of like checking this out. And today we're going to tackle some questions that maybe you even have in your heart that you're like, oh, I didn't realize you guys even talked about this in church. And I love it because that's kind of the senior pastor here, Pastor Dave Barr, that's his heart. He wants to go after everything just kind of head on. So we're in this series and he's given me a specific question to cover this morning. Now, before I do that, I wanted to do one other thing and take a page out of Pastor Dave Barr's book. And it's this. Last week when he preached, he started off a little bit of like internet memes. And so for those of us that live in Hawaii, they just extended the quarantine order all the way through the month of May. So it's going to be one more month at home. And I have a friend who sent me some memes that I loved and I thought I would bring them. He's another pastor and he finds himself wearing a new hat as a parent that he never thought he would wear. It's the hat of homeschool teacher. I know some of you parents out there know exactly what's that like. And so he sent me this week. It was making me laugh. There's two of them. This is what it said. The first one was this. And just like that, spankings and prayer is back in school. Hashtag homeschool 2020. It's like, totally. The second one's even more funny. It's my favorite one. It's this. Many parents are just about to discover the teacher was not the problem. When I heard that, I was like, I know for some of you guys, that probably hits a little bit too close to home, yeah? But the truth is, man, all you parents out there, I give you guys credit because it's got to be just a crazy season working and school and all that. And all you teachers out there, I don't think that we've ever had more respect for you than we do right now. Because it's true, we're just living in unprecedented times, facing all sorts of different things. And so that's why I think that coming back to the series we're in, we're doing a really good message space to really tackle these things head on. So, when God doesn't make sense, here's the question that Pastor Dave gave me. What do you do when it seems like God is absent? Has that ever happened in your life? You had a circumstance or a situation where you just kind of felt like asking the question, like, God, where are you? Like, what are you doing? Maybe for you, it's in your marriage. Maybe your marriage is in a place where it's kind of on the rocks, and maybe you've been putting a lot of effort into it, you know, trying to do everything that you can, really trying to work on yourself, and maybe you've been praying, but it just feels like you're just not going anywhere. Or maybe you've been praying and it's even started to get worse. And part of you just feels like, God, like, when are you going to show up and help us out? Like, where are you? Or maybe for you, it has to do with your job. Maybe you've got your hours cut back, or even worse, maybe you got let go. And throughout the week, you find yourself just worrying, thinking like, how am I going to pay for the bills? Or how am I going to provide? Or, you know, when is this economy even going to change? And God, what are you doing right now? Like, where are you? Or maybe for you, it has to do with your health. Maybe you're sick. Or someone you know is sick, or maybe even it's scary sick. And you're sitting there saying, like, God, I just don't understand why you kind of would even allow this, or where are you in all this? Or maybe for you, God forbid, but you went through and somebody got sick and they passed away. And you just feel like saying, like, God, where were you? It feels like you're not even here. For some of you, it has to do with your kids. You've done your best to coach them and to really like lead them down a path where they should go, but they made a turn and now they're going in a wayward direction. And you find yourself doing everything you can and praying, God, would you just intervene? But it seems like he's not showing up. And you just want to just figure out like, God, where are you? Why are you not there? Maybe you're single and, you know, you've kind of did the wait and date thing the way that you feel like God wants you to do, but it seems like everyone else is getting into relationships and you find yourself just by yourself and you're thinking to yourself, God, like, I don't understand. Like, where are you? How come I'm not seeing the breakthrough? How come I'm not seeing you do anything in this area of my life? Listen, all of us, at one point or another in our life, have asked some variation of this question. God, it seems like you're absent. Where are you? Now, if that's you, I've got good news for you today, and it's this. You're not alone. Matter of fact, when you read through the scriptures are full of stories of men and women who experienced the exact same feelings and asked the exact same questions. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to open the Word and look at the guy in Genesis. His name is Abraham. He's called the father of faith. He's called the father of faith not because his life was so easy and everything worked out perfectly. It's actually the opposite. There were some many times in his life where it seemed like God was absent. So if you can, take out your Bibles with me or your phones, open up into Genesis chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, that's all right as well. We'll throw it up here on the screen. And we're going to go ahead and look at Abraham's story. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. Abraham was a guy who was pretty well off. He lived in a place with a lot of family, and he had this encounter with God. His story is one of the clearest ones that shows what it's like when God starts interacting with somebody. And so God shows up and basically says, hey, Abraham, I'm going to make you great. But what I need you to do is I need you to leave your home, the place where you've been raised, your friends and family, where you've had all this success. I need you to pack everything up and I need you to go out to a new land. Now, I'll keep my promises to you. I'll make you a great nation. And so Abraham actually goes and he does that. Now, it'll say the word Abram because that was Abraham's name in the beginning before God changed it. But this is what it says in Genesis 12, verse 4. It says, so Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. Now, for those of you guys that are local to here in Hawaii, it would be kind of like this. Let's say you grew up on the windward side, all your family's here, you had a thriving business, and God said, listen, I'm going to bless you, but in order to bless you, you need to pack everything up, and I need you to move, not just to another part of the island, not just to another part in the nation. I need you to move maybe all the way to Europe, maybe to Amsterdam. And for some of us, it's like Amsterdam. I'm not even sure where Amsterdam is on the map. It's like, you want me to do that? I don't even know anybody over there. And God says, no, listen, if you do this, I will be with you and I will bless you and I will make you great. That's what Abraham did. He took this huge step of faith. Now, there's one other important part you need to know about Abraham as we kind of dive into his story. Although he was successful with possessions and had his wife and seemed to do pretty well, they had one area where it seemed that God was totally absent. See, Abraham and Sarah, they didn't have any kids. Now, it would be one thing if you didn't have kids and you were in your 20s, but if you look at the story, when the story picks up, Abraham was 75 years old. And when he's at 75, God shows up and says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. In other words, I'm going to actually give you children. That's a pretty incredible thing. Now, in the culture, if you didn't have kids, it was a huge black mark on your family. It was kind of like really shameful. There was no one to pass your stuff onto. There's no one to take care of you. There's no one to carry on your name. It was a really, really bad stigma in that society. And so in this space, it's like, okay, so you're telling me at 75, God, you're going to show up and you're going to actually give us children. Now, believe it or not, God actually does that. Sarah, by the way, was 75 as well. Now, the question I want to ask you is, how long did you think it took from the moment that this promise was made until that promise actually got fulfilled? If you've been in church for a long time, I actually want to ask you, do you know how long it was? Matter of fact, if you're watching this live online with us, there's chat on the side, or if you're watching it later, there's comments. I want you to just throw a guess. How long do you think it took for God to fulfill his promise for Abraham to bring breakthrough in this area of Keiki? Okay, the answer can be found 9 chapters later in Genesis 21, but it's not 9 chapters or 9 years. It actually ends up being 25 years later. Abram was 100 years old, so was Sarah, when his son Isaac was born to him. In other words, 25 years of time elapsed during that time where it felt like God wasn't there in that area of his life. I don't know about you, but like waiting 25 years for something would be crazy. Like I can barely wait 25 minutes for my dinner to be done, you know? 25 years for a breakthrough is just like, wow. And so you got to think there had to be times where Abraham was like, God, what's going on? I left everything to follow you. Like you said you were going to do this. Like, I don't get it. How come you're, where are you? How come you're not bringing breakthrough? As a matter of fact, we knew there was times when doubt entered the couple because they even tried to do surrogates during this time. But something happened in the way that Abraham carried himself in this time of like where God seemed absent that made an impression, not only is his family there, but his family for generations, so much so that even thousands of years later, we're still talking about how Abraham carried himself during this time when it seemed like God was absent. The Apostle Paul, who lived in the time of Jesus, like right after the time of Jesus, he writes about this in Romans. He says this, and Abraham's faith, it didn't weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so is Sarah's womb. And Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew even stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Listen, when you and I get to seasons of life where it feels like God's absent, I feel like there's two practical steps that Abraham wants to teach us here this morning. Here's the first. The first thing you got to do is you really got to be honest about the places where it does seem that God's absent in your life. You can see that in that scripture that in Romans where Paul was talking. It said this about Abraham. It said that Abraham was able to look at the deadness of his flesh or the fact that Sarah's womb was probably dead or his body. See, one of the things that I love is it doesn't say that Abraham just pretended like it wasn't real. Sometimes Christians get a bad rap, especially some of the ones that are on the fringe in the media, and they'll do the things where it's like they won't look at reality. Like they'll just spend a bunch of money right and left and just say, oh, you know, like, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. It's like, oh, you got to actually live in reality and pay attention to what you're facing and the circumstance that's right in front of you. It's like, yeah, God is a provider, but you got to look at the reality of the circumstances you're facing. And for some of us, we're going to be facing some pretty gnarly circumstances. Maybe you already are. Maybe you don't know where the bills are going to get paid from now. Maybe you don't know your health status and how this whole thing is going to work out for you. And you know what? If you're going to make it through this season where God feels absent, you got to be honest about it. Listen, sometimes as Christians, we can think to ourselves, you know, oh, I got to just constantly pretend that everything's good, even though there's some questions that I have. And the truth is that God doesn't want us to hide our questions or hide our doubts or hide our fears or our circumstance. He actually wants us to be honest about them, and here it is, to bring them to him. See, what Abraham did was he was able to first look at his circumstance, but he didn't just stay there. He also started to be able to focus on who God is and where God was actually present in his life. So it's kind of like a 1-2 punch. It's kind of like this. When you read this part at the end of the scripture, it said that Abraham was fully convinced that God's able to do whatever it is that he promised. See, sometimes in life what happens is there's a specific area that we really want God to show up in. And when he doesn't show up in that area, it actually acts as a blinder so that we can't see all the other places that God is showing up inside of our life. Let me illustrate this by a story from my own life. A couple of years back, I was in this situation where I just couldn't figure out something in my career. I couldn't find an opportunity to really become who God created me to be and do what I really had in my heart and I felt like I was supposed to do. And I was so frustrated. I mean, this went on for months. I was so mad at God. It's like, God, I don't get this. Every time I try, it's like you just blow everything up and you've given me no options. It's like I'm crying out to you, I'm praying to you, and it's like you're doing nothing. You're not even present in my life. And I remember I was in the car with a good friend and we were driving past Aloha Stadium on H1 and he said, TJ, can I just be honest with you? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you know, I've been listening to you share and the circumstance you're facing, it is. It's really hard. It seems really, really unfair. But can I also tell you, I see God showing up in your life all over the place. So what do you mean? Now, I had just started dating my wife. He said, you know, can't you see how he brought Jules into your life right now? Now you have this woman who you get along with so well. I mean, you guys click in an incredible way. You know, there's people in the world that would just kill to have that. Or look at financially. I know you can't figure out a breakthrough in your career, but look at how he provided for you. I mean, he's provided for you in the last couple of months in some pretty crazy ways. I was like, yeah, you're actually right. And then he said, you've got friends in your life that would like lay down their life and do anything for you. I mean, God's showing up all over the place. But what's happening is you're so fixated on this thing right here of where he's absent that you aren't able to see where he's actually present. See, sometimes in our life, what we tend to do is we get so focused on what's not happening that we're not actually able to see what is happening. And if we're going to make it through these seasons where God feels absent, here's what you got to realize. God actually is in it with you. And although he may not be showing up in the one area you want him to, I can almost guarantee you he's showing up in other places. But we've got to begin to have eyes to see and to look in a bigger way, because if we don't, we're going to start to miss it. And when we can get this rhythm, this is this one-two punch reality that's really going to help us to navigate these seasons where God seems absent. Let me illustrate it like this. How many of you guys remember these? You guys remember this? This is called sports, and they haven't existed for the last month. And I know for many of you out there, you miss them dearly. But I used to love going to games. Like I loved, you go 50,000 people all together. And I loved it when you were the home team, right? Especially when everybody would like get into the songs and really get into it, you know? Like this song, for example, you probably know this one. It goes like this. I don't know the words and nobody does. You got blood on your face, big disgrace. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, sing it with me. We will rock you. I know you want to do it. Come on. We will rock you. Did you clap? I bet you clapped. I bet you couldn't help yourself. You had to finish it. All my OCD friends out there, you're like, no, I got to complete it. Every time there's this, you got to have this. And in an odd way, that's the point I'm trying to make today. Going through these seasons of life, it's critical that we're honest about where we are. But at the same time, we always come back to who God is and how he's currently showing up in our life. Listen, believe it or not, when you read the scriptures, there's songs in the scriptures. There's 150 songs. They're called Psalms, but they were literally songs. And this same pattern exists over and over again. Men and women just like you and me that come to God and they are so honest about what's going on. I'll show you two examples. This is Psalm 13. It says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. I mean, just listen to the honesty of that. God, where are you? Are you even out there? How long are you going to forget about me? They're doing this part of being honest. But the psalm doesn't stop there. They don't stop at just that honesty part. It goes back to what they know to be true. It says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. They complete the step and come back to the reality. And that's a picture of what you and I need to be able to do. Be open and honest, but always come back to God. Here's the good. Here's where I see you showing up. Yep, this part doesn't make sense, but also this part is true. And that 1-2 punch is what's going to get us through these seasons where God feels absent. Let me just show you one more. This is from Psalm 73. It says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But But as for me, my feet almost slipped. I have nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. See, can you see the honesty there? This is to God. They're coming, they're singing this to God. God, I don't get it. I've tried to follow you with everything that I am, and I look at everybody else, and it seems like the people that don't follow you, they're the ones that end up being successful. I mean, I've been single and trying to do it the right way, and everyone else is getting married. I don't get it. I feel like I wasted all my time. I've tried to do my job the way that you say and never cut corners, and the guys that cut corners, they're the ones that got promotions. They're the ones that got raises. Matter of fact, I got let go. How does this even make sense? God, I tried to take care of myself. I tried to serve you. And now someone in my family is sick. I feel like I followed you in vain. That kind of honesty is the honesty that God welcomes. And the psalmist teaches us. But again, that's just this part of the psalm. We've always got to come back to the second part and see even how this psalm ends right here. Yet, I am always with you, God. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom do I have in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, this is the kind of secret. It's these 1-2 punch that's what's going to get us through these seasons when God is absent. If I was going to add one final thing or just one big thought, it would be this, that as a community, what we need to do during this time is we need to be able to focus more on where God is present and less on where he seems absent. Listen, it is so easy to always remember and see the things that God's not doing. And it's hard sometimes to keep our eyes on the big picture and make sure we're catching the things that he is doing. And I tell you this, if you stay so focused on what he's not doing, it's going to steal your joy. It's going to steal your peace. It's going to steal the life out of you. But if you can be honest about that, but really focus, okay, God, here's where I see you showing up. You know, I see you showing up in my family here. I see you providing. Maybe you didn't give us a big bump financially, but you gave us extra resources, or somebody gave us a gift, or someone gave us these extra groceries. And God, you're providing in other ways. And if you can do that and keep that perspective, you're going to be able to navigate and make it through this kind of space. And so we need to learn how to fight through these times. Now, the other thing you got to do is not only be in that spot where you learn to fight through this time solo, but you also should do this in community. Listen, all of us here at New Hope Windward, one of the things that we know is that we don't just come to church, we don't just watch a screen, we don't just sit in a service, we also join a small community or a small group. And the reason for that is almost back to the same story I told you about me when I was so upset about my career thing. It's like the other people around us, they're the ones that help remind us when we get off. They're the ones that help point to the bigger picture and help you see what God's actually doing, because all of us at one point or another in our life, we're going to miss it. Matter of fact, we have a way for all of us to jump into groups regardless of where you are. We have online groups, and you can do it like this. You can just text the word groups to 484848. So if you put 484848 in your phone, write the word groups, it's going to send you a bunch of options for groups that you can jump into. But I want to encourage you to take advantage of this. See, sometimes what we think is as long as we just have like our family, we're good. But can I be honest with you? A lot of the stress that many of us are experiencing right now is actually in our family. And maybe what you need is somebody who's not in your family to come in and give you some perspective of what God's doing in your family right now. I mean, maybe you are, you and your wife are at each other. You and your husband are really just fighting, and all you can see is what's wrong. But someone else might be able to come alongside and see, like, well, can't you see how God's working in your relationship with your kids? It's it's kind of better than it's ever been? Or can't you see how God's giving you an opportunity? And in doing that in that group, it's like it pulls you up. So yes, you can be honest with where you are, but you can also come back to say, okay, this is what God's also doing. But we can't just do this by ourselves. It's just not how we're wired. It's not how God created us. Listen, in the days to come and the challenges that are ahead, if you do it by yourself, we're not gonna make it. We gotta be connected to God and connected to each other. I mean, just imagine a community of people who, when they enter into these hard questions, when we got to these places where it's like, when God doesn't make sense, is instead of letting those things destroy us, we actually allowed it to press us closer to Him, to come honest and say, God, this is what I feel, but I'm not gonna let what I feel get in the way of what I know. God, this is what I'm facing, but I'm not gonna let what I'm facing get in the way of who You are. And I'm gonna pull close to You, and I'm gonna use my brothers and my sisters or the people in my group to come alongside me so that even in this difficult time where it seems like You're absent, I will pull close and I will press through with You. See, that's what Abraham did. It was 25 years. And if he was here today, he wouldn't sit here and tell you, you know what, it was vain to follow God. He would tell you, hang on, hang on. He's gonna show up. He's gonna walk you through it. He never promised that everything works out perfect, but He did promise that He'd walk with us in every season. And you know, there might be some of you here watching today, and for you as you watch, like maybe you're not a Christian, and maybe you're watching today hoping like, okay, like some giant answer would kind of pop out of the screen. Here's what I think. I think that God had you watch this for a reason, and I think the reason is He's about to show up in a major way in your life. See, what I want you to do, and the cool thing about God is that He allows anybody to come to them, to come to Him just as they are. You don't need to change who you are. You don't necessarily need to even like talk a certain way or think a way. You are able to go to God just as you are and to be honest with Him. And what I want to challenge you is if you find yourself in a place where it's like you're curious about who God is, or you feel like you're supposed to like reach out to Him, then I want you to just do this today. I want you to pray. And all pray means is just talk to God. You can do it now, or you can do it tonight when you go to bed or whenever. And I just want you to be honest and say, God, you know, this is what I'm facing. This is what's going on in my life. I'm afraid. I'm unsure. I'm uneasy. I don't even know if You're real. And then I want you to pray this. But God, if You're real, would You show up in a way that I would know it's You? Because here's the thing for all of us here as we watch this, that's happened for all of us. We've had an encounter with God, and God starts to show up in our life, and it builds our faith. It reminds us who He is and that He has a heart for us, and He wants to do life with us, and we walk with Him. And that's really what's going to get us through this season, is when we pull close to Him. The scriptures say it like this: when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And whether it's your first time in church or your 1,000th time, I want to just close us today as we'd all take a step close to Him as we navigate these seasons where God doesn't make sense, but He's present and He is at work. And let's pray that He opens our eyes to see what it is that He's doing. Would you bow your heads with me as we close in prayer? God, I thank You that You let us come to You just as we are. Lord, I know for a lot of us, we're facing situations where, if we're honest, we're upset, we're scared, we're anxious. Lord, we don't know what it is that You're doing, or we don't know why You allow certain things to happen. So God, we want to be honest about that. And thank You that You let us be honest about that and that You invite that. But God, we also recognize today that we don't want to let those feelings take over our whole world and our whole thoughts, God. We've seen You do so many things. We've seen You do things in our life. We've seen You do things in our family. We've seen You do things at New Hope Windward. And God, You never change. And so Lord, this week, would You open our eyes to help us to see what it is that You're doing? Help us to be able to focus more on the things that You're actually up to and that You're present. as we bring you the other things that are bothering us, that it feels like you're absent. But God, we anchor ourselves today on the truth, and we know that you never leave us. You never forsake us. You promised you would never do those things. And so, Lord, we know that you're here. Help us to gain a greater degree of awareness of your presence and who you are. And help us, God, to follow you all the days of our life. We love you, we praise you, we worship you. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Hey, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for checking out the message with us. And you know, we're gonna be continuing this series over the next few weeks, and we'd love to encourage you to jump in it with us. And also, if today's message was really like resonated for you in your mind and you thought that, you know, this would be good for somebody else, you can actually just share these messages with people online. We're having incredible stories of what God's doing just through people sending links to other people. And so we want to encourage you to do that, because God's up to something huge in our world, even in the midst of these unprecedented times. Well, we love you, and we will see you guys next week. Thank you for joining us at New Hope Windward.